While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around, and glory shone around.
Why don't you go?
Go tell it on the mountains. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light.
You need to go.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized their troubled mind.
Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you and all mankind.
Down in a lowly manger,
the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn.
Why don't you go?
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. He is born. Christ is born.
You're about to join him either clapping or singing, weren't you? I could tell. Thank you again for everyone for all the work that you put into our musical that we had last Sunday night. Such an incredible crowd that came, and many of you that brought family, friends, co-workers, and others to that service. But a lot of work went into it, so we're trying to get as much mileage out of all the songs that they practice for. So we're just going to keep them going for a while and keep the Christmas spirit alive. I do want to say before we get to the scripture reading tonight, thank you to everyone for the gifts, the desserts, and everything that you've given to our family. We appreciate that very much, and so I just want to thank our church family. And we have an incredible church family, and appreciate you very much, and not just for what you do for us, but looking out for each other, praying for each other, and it really brings a joy to my heart. And thank you for your service on a given Sunday. We have teachers and workers all over the place, and I heard of some of the classes that had an incredible number of kids today that they did not expect. Now we know Christmas on the bus Sunday, double up the workers, all right? Shorten the lesson, extra snacks, and we're good to go. But thank you for all the workers that faithfully serve every week, that skip service here to go and teach classes and help our young people. So thank you for your faithfulness on our buses, our classes, and everyone. And we're very blessed. And so thank you for your faithfulness to do the work of the Lord. We're going to be in Luke chapter 14 this evening. Luke and chapter number 14, not a Christmas message, just saying that right off the bat and not trying to avoid it, but want to give you a couple of thoughts as we end this year. Can you believe it that we are 10 days away from 2025? And for some of you that may not mean it much, but man, it seems like the time is going quick. It seems before you start the year and it's ending already. And I want to just give you a few thoughts that I believe would be a help for us as we end this year and starting the next year. Luke chapter 14, as you find that, would you stand to your feet as you're able? Luke chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 25. Luke 14:25, the Bible says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters." See, brothers and sisters, that gives you an excuse now. No. "And his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." This passage here is really given the instructions of what it means to be a disciple. As you know this, many followed Jesus and they wanted to hear the miracles. Maybe they wanted to get a free handout. Maybe they wanted to see a show, so to say. But many heard the sayings of Jesus Christ, but few were disciples. Few were true disciples. You'd have thousands that would follow. And then, of course, Jesus called the 12 disciples. There was the inner three. And then there's John the Beloved. And so there's requirements to be a disciple of the Lord. And it's really our choice. It's not that Jesus was playing favorites and saying, you can be close to me and you can't. It was the choice of a disciple, how close they wanted to be to the Lord. But to be a disciple, there was a cost. They just cut out on me. To be a disciple, there must be a cost. To be a disciple, it was going to require commitment from the follower. To be a disciple, there would be a cross to bear. So there's a challenge to the disciples. You know that as a Christian. You know that there's a cost to bear to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's commitment that's required, that Jesus requires of each and every one of his disciples. There's a cost, there's a cross, and there's a commitment to follow the Lord. I want to give you a few thoughts on this tonight. Lord, I pray you bless the lesson, the message tonight. Speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, where it's needed. Be with those that are here tonight, those that are not able to be here. Bless and watch over them as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus gives again the instructions for being a disciple, who can and cannot be his disciple. And then he gives them a thought here and gives them a challenge and says, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to sit down first and count the cost. And he gives them an instruction that I believe we're going to apply tonight and not trying to take it out of context. But in verse number 28, it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him." Given the analogy, to be a disciple, you're going to have to sit down. You're going to have to count the cost of what God is going to require of you to be his disciple. Know this, that when Jesus called the disciples, he would tell the fishermen to leave your nets. He said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." That they leave it all behind. They leave behind their family, their possessions, all they had to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. But with this thought here tonight that Jesus gives, this parable here about it, someone sitting down intending to build a tower and thinking about the cost that it would take to build the tower, to finish it, to complete it. I want to give you this thought as we finish this year. You know, it's one thing to start, it's another thing to finish. Many would follow Jesus for a day, a few days, a period of time, but those that stuck with Jesus all the way to the cross was just a few. Those that stuck with Jesus all the way to the tomb was just a few. Many of them fled. There was a lot of casual Christians and maybe some that were just young Christians and figuring it out. But again, as we finish this year and as we start a new year, I want to encourage you about counting the cost, thinking ahead about what God allowed you to do this year and what God would have you to do in this coming year. I think about that as you finish a year, and I'm not sure how you do that with your family and with your ministries, with your job, whatever it is that God has allowed you to lead or to be a part of. I hope you, as you finish here, you start to think about what God has allowed you to do and maybe what you intended to do and it never happened. I've had a lot of great ideas that have never even set foot, not even got off the ground at all. It was an idea. I was like, that's a great idea. And it went no further than there at all. And I want to just challenge you about finishing the year right, finish right to start right. Finish right to start right. Again, many will wait till January 1st for the big intentions, the great plans of what they're going to do next year, but then do nothing with the days leading up to it. If you're not going to finish right, you're not going to start right. If you're not going to finish the year on the right note, you're not going to start the year on the right note as well. And there's a few areas we'll look at tonight. Maybe this coming year that, here's the thing, you have no idea what the year has ahead of you. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You may think, well, I want to know what's coming ahead this year. Maybe you don't want to know what's coming ahead this year. Some of it, I'd rather be surprised. Lord, help me. You know what's coming ahead. I don't want to dread that day. You know what I'm talking about? Ending the year right so you can finish the year right. Maybe this next year, you're going to have some of the biggest decisions you'll have to make for yourself and your family. Maybe this next year that God would change your job situation. Some would get laid off. Some would get promoted. I'm not trying to get anyone nervous here, but we don't know what God has ahead of you. Maybe this next year, God is adding to your family. Maybe the next year, God is taking someone away from your family. We don't know what the Lord may have to come for us in the coming year when it comes to your family, to your finances, to your job situation, maybe to your health situation, to your ministry, whatever God may have you to do. I want to encourage you again as you finish to finish strong so you can start strong. Finish strong so you can start strong. Paul would say in 2 Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul's desire in his life was that he would finish strong. Why do you think Paul had such a great desire to finish strong? Because he wasted time not living for God. He wasted time persecuting the church and not living for God. And so all the time that God would give to him, he wanted to live for God and go all the way for God, all the way to the death. And what a great testimony that he would finish straight. He'd finish strong and finish right. January 1st is coming, but we want to finish right. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Again, anyone can start. I mean, maybe you say you're going to set out this year, I'm going to run a marathon. You know, you could start it. I mean, I could start a marathon. I wouldn't finish it. not a chance. Maybe if I got in someone's car, you know, and cut through the course a little bit, you know, but anyone can start it, but to finish right. I want to give you a few thoughts about finishing the year right so you can start this coming year right. With a few days ahead, again, as you end the year, thinking about what God allowed you to do, thinking about what God would have you to do in the coming year, maybe what you intended to accomplish but didn't get a chance to do that for whatever the reason may be. I want to give you 3 points with about 15 subpoints under those. On this thought tonight, kind of a joke, a little bit serious. First one is this, pray for God's direction. As you finish the year, I hope you finish the year praying. Finish the year praying. Again, that you'd finish this year right. Now, part of it is you're flipping the page on the calendar, and I know that not many actually flip the page on the calendar, but it does it for you on your phone, whatever it may be. But for some, it's another day that God has given to you. But part of it, it's a fresh start as well. And I want to, again, challenge you about finish right so you can start right. How can we do that? Praying for God's direction. It's surprising how many Christians don't take the time to pray for God's direction for decisions that we're making. We're making decisions on our own power, our own strength, our own wisdom, and not seeking God's help with the decisions that we have to make. Prayer is the most powerful tool of a Christian that is the most neglected. I believe it's the most powerful tool as a Christian that we can come before the throne of God and get wisdom from God and direction and then neglect it. Many times, here's what happens as Christians. We make decisions And then halfway through it, we say, God, would you help me with the decision that I just make? And would you save me? And God says, you made the decision. You get yourself out of it, right? Maybe so. Pray for God's direction. Get God involved in your plans. Don't ask God to approve your plans. Ask God for direction for the plans that you make in your life. We're not trying to ask God to put a stamp of approval. Say, God, this is what I want to do. Would you sign it for me? Say, God, what would you like for me to do in my life? Where would you want me to go? What would you want me to do? What would you want me to say? Praying for God's direction. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom. Anyone here like that? You lack wisdom in any area in your life? Well, of course, if I had a raise of hands tonight, of course there would. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally, and it abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Take time to pray. Praying for God's direction. Say, God, I need wisdom in this area. See, too many times we think this, God, I've got this one figured out. I'll take the small stuff and you take the big stuff. Again, we may not say that as a Christian, but many times in our own lives, I'm guilty of it as well. God, I can take this one, but the big stuff I'll pray about and come before you. Pray about everything. Pray without what? Ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Praying for God's direction in our lives. Parents, grandparents, young people, you have decisions you're going to make the end of this year, starting the next year. Pray for God's direction. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee. What a great promise that is. When you call upon the name of the Lord, God says, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Pray for God's direction. Under this, I want to give you a few thoughts. Under that is this, follow biblical principles. Follow biblical principles. God will never lead you to go against the Bible. God will never lead you to go against the Bible. If it goes against the Bible, can I save you some time? You don't even need to pray about it. God already said no. God already said no. We kind of do sometimes like children do with their parents, you know. Mom says no, so they come and ask Dad. Dad says no, so they go and ask Mom. Trying to go and find the answer. If God has already said no, don't bother asking. Don't bother trying to go ahead and do it. God has already given you and me the answer. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You say, God, what would you want me to do? You realize there's Bible verse and principle for everything that you will face in life. Isn't that great? You don't have to wonder a question. You go look in your Bible and say, God, would you point me to the verse, the principle that I need in my life for this situation and how to apply it? God, give me wisdom. And then God gives you a lamp and a light to your feet and your path to help and guide you. Why? So we don't stumble and fall. When we get off on our own and we leave behind our Bible and we leave behind prayer, we leave behind counselors in our life, we stumble and fall. Follow biblical principles. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, not just to hear, but to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God said to take God's word, put it in our life, not just to hear it, but to do it. And do all that God has given for us to do. And it says, and then God will make your way prosperous. And then you'll have good success. Too many times we get ourselves into problems in our life because we are going opposite of the Word of God. And then we come to God and say, God, what'd you do? What happened? And we want to blame God for our mistakes, right? Instead of obeying God's instructions, command, and then you'll have good success. Follow biblical principles. Number two is follow God's direction. When you pray about it, I want to give you an important truth that I need as well. When you pray, listen. Many times we spend so much time praying and talking to God that we don't take the time to listen to God. You know what I'm saying? And we pray and we need to come to God with our prayer needs, but stop and listen to the voice of God. The Holy Spirit's direction on your heart for what God directs in your life. Too many times God is putting up that stop sign, the yield, don't go there, and we run right through it. We say, God, what happened? God said, I tried telling you no, but you weren't listening. Listen to God's direction. Listen to God's timing. Sometimes God's answer isn't yes. Sometimes it's not no. Sometimes it's just not now. God's timing is important, just as important as God's direction. The Israelites in the wilderness, what did they follow? The pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. And when the pillar stopped, what did they do? They stopped. And when the pillar started going, they packed everything up and they started going as well. It was God's direction and God's timing in their life. If it stayed there for a day, a week, a month, or a year, they stayed. And when it started moving, they started moving as well. As Christians, may we listen to the voice of God. And when God says to go, we would go. When he says stop, we'll stop. When he says wait, how many enjoy that word wait? You enjoy that? We were going through the roundabout tonight. We were trying to go through the roundabout. But everyone thought the yield sign meant stop. And I was trying to stay in the spirit. And there's about 5 cars in front of us that were just stopping, waiting for everyone to go through first. And I thought, would you please get going? Amen, right? Let's move along. Take chances, all right? No, don't do that. Don't do that, all right? Praying for God's direction and God's timing. God's timing is important. When God says go, it's time to go. When God says stop, it's time to stop. When God says wait, it's time to wait. Listen to God's direction and God's timing. Follow biblical principles. Pray for God's direction. And then seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. Every single person in this room needs someone or people in their lives that you can go to for biblical, godly, and spiritual counsel in your life. I have counselors that I go to that I'm ready in a moment that I've called this week and said, I need direction and counsel. What do you think I should do with this situation? What would your advice be? You say, I'm not going to go ask anyone else for help. That's foolish. That's foolish. We never get too old enough or wise enough to have someone in our lives that can tell you that's not wise. Do you have someone in your life that you'll listen to? A godly counselor that could give you direction in your life. Getting counsel is not asking someone to tell you what to do. Getting counsel is not about asking enough people until you get the answer that you want. Getting counsel is getting someone or several people that are spiritual, godly, and experienced to help you apply the Word of God to your situation in life. Let me say that again. Getting spiritual, godly counsel is about getting someone or several people that are spiritual and godly in your life and experienced, have some wisdom to help you apply the Word of God to the situations in your life. Everyone needs to have those people. Young people, you better listen to your parents. You should be going to your parents for counsel regularly, saying, Mom and Dad, what should I do? You say, I don't like my parents telling me what to do so much. Then how about you listen? Well, start there. But then secondly, you would go to them. Instead of waiting for them to tell you what to do, you go and say, Mom and Dad, what do you think I should do right now? Wouldn't that be wise? Your mom and dad may drop over dead. They'd have to pick them back up, resuscitate them, and you get going again. Getting godly counsel. But it's not just for young people. That's for adults as well. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You realize that some of the wisest people are not the ones that are going around telling everyone what to do. You realize that? Many times the wisest people are the ones that you need to go to, and you get alone and say, can I ask you some advice on this? They may only say a few words, but you better listen. Get that godly, wise counsel in your life and draw it out. Say, would you help me? What do you think about this? What advice would you give me? And listen to the biblical counsel. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Hear counsel, hear it, and receive it that you may be wise in thy latter end. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Praying for direction, getting counsel in your life for decisions. Many people are going to make huge decisions this coming year without praying, seeking God's word and getting spiritual counsel, the Bible says that you'll fall. That's what the Bible has told us. We need the protection of God in our life for the safety measures that God has put around us. So number one, we got 3 points tonight. We got through one. Pray for God's direction. Number two, prepare for success. Prepare for success. As we looked at those verses, it says, for which of you intending to build a tower? Maybe you said, you know what? I'm going to build something today. As a kid, sometimes we'd go out in the back and we'd find stuff and say, let's build something or destroy something. That was probably more fun than building, but let's build something. And you put it together and you're like, that was great. And it really was not. But you sit down, the Bible says, intending to build a tower. And it says this, you sit down first, counting the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. Don't make quick decisions in your life. Many times quick decisions are sinful decisions. They're fleshly decisions. They're prompted by the devil. They're directed by the flesh. Don't make quick decisions. Make godly decisions. This coming year, we've met for much time, put much prayer and time and preparation into the direction for our church for this coming year. That's important. That's huge. We've spent a whole lot of time, and I think we have a calendar in here somewhere. Right? There it is. We spent much time. There's a lot of stuff in here. We spent much time in prayer and preparation for the calendar for the coming year. We didn't put things on here just to waste a lot of time and to fill up a lot of dates and put a lot of blocks and numbers there. But making the most of what God has given to us for our church to go forward. We're going to have our ministry night, our vision night coming up the second week of January. Well, we're going to introduce a lot of things we're going to do this coming year. Some of it you'll read through the calendar and you'll figure some of it out. Others will introduce some projects we want to do, some ministries, some things moving forward. Why? Because we're intending to build something for the Lord. Sitting down first, counting the cost, preparing, planning, praying. Why? Because we want God in this. We're not just doing stuff to keep busy. We want God's work to go forward. But success doesn't happen by chance. You prepare for success. You work to have success. And not success in the world's eyes, by the way. I know that's what success is usually labeled as, but success in God's eyes. God's blessing. Maybe for your family, you have plans for the coming year. I hope you do. I hope you have plans for your family, something exciting for your family to do. A project, a trip, a vacation, something that your family is going to do. Sit down and think about it. Guess what? It's probably not just going to happen by chance. If you know me at all, I'm not a jump up and just do something just off the whim kind of a person. I'll say this, that we plan to be spontaneous. That's probably not a good thing to do, but I try my best. You get it? And let's do something crazy tonight. We're going to plan it like a few days before. I don't know why. We got problems. I'm not sure. But prepare for success. Plan something. I think about Joseph in the Bible. That God blessed Joseph from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison and then back second in command. Think about this, though, that God gave Joseph a dream. He gave him a vision, or as Joseph interpreted that dream, I should say. And the dream was that they were going to have 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And he had a plan in place, said, let's gather for the first 7 years so that we have enough for the next seven. Isn't that smart? Isn't that a wise thing to do? Kept a whole lot of people alive because of the preparation and following God's leading. Give you a few quick thoughts with this about preparing for success. Number one is this. We talked about praying, but think through your plans. Literally stop and think about it. Look through your calendar, your phone, whatever it is, and think about the plans you have coming up for the next year. I don't know about you, but we plan stuff, and then sometimes I get surprised by the plans that we made. You know, who planned this? Oh, it was me. Sorry. Think through your plans. I'm going to go through this quickly. Schedule your plans for your ministry, your job, your family, whatever God has allowed you to be part of. Think about it, but schedule your plans. Pick a day, pick a week, pick some time before the end of the year, and schedule some things for the coming year that God would have for you to do. Number three, communicate your plans. Communicate your plans. It doesn't help you a whole lot to have a plan that's in here that no one knows about. Now, maybe you're trying to surprise someone, but communicate it. husband, you might want to get your wife involved in the plans that you have for the coming year. It'd be a good thing to talk about that. Communicate your plans, maybe with a ministry. God has allowed you to be part of a bus route. Have a plan for that bus route next year. Say, we're going to do the same thing we've always done. Now, yes, door knock and pray and ask for God's blessing. But you could try something new in the coming year. That'd be exciting, wouldn't it? And communicate it. Get your group together and say, let's do something next year. And get it. Communicate your plans. Number four, and many times plans cost money. And it talks about counting the cost. Save for your plans. Most things in life cost money. Let's put it this way. Everything costs money, all right? Save for your plans. You have ideas ahead. Save for it. Think about it, what you want to do. Say, you know, we're just going to just charge it on the credit card. Well, why not think ahead? Set some money aside. Make it exciting with your family, kids. If you put a dollar in here, maybe in 15 years we'll make it to the amusement park, you know? Get them excited about it. Maybe something more realistic than that. Save for your plans. Think about it. And then accomplish your plans. Accomplish it. You know what? It's one thing to set aside and say, we're going to do this year, and it never happens. We're going to do it today. It never happens. We're going to do it. It never comes to fruition. Accomplish it. I like planning things, but I like accomplishing it as well. I love checking it off, getting it done. Look what we were able to do with God's help. Accomplish the plans that God gave you. A goal without a plan is just a wish. A goal without a plan is just a wish. You know, I have an idea, but never putting it into practice. It's just a wish. Thirdly tonight, persevere through difficulty. It talks about this, that you count the cost beforehand, and it says, lest happily after he laid the foundation, not able to finish it, all that beheld it began to mock. In verse number 29, the Bible says, maybe you had great intentions. You prayed, you planned, and you started to accomplish something for God, and it never got off the foundation. We've been driving by Costco and that whole building that they've been doing for years, and we probably have talked about it like 1,000 times. I don't know why. You know, oh, look what new is coming in here, and watching them building and watching it go up. It's amazing how some go up like it seems like in months, and others might be done like by, you know, 2050. I'm not sure. But you watch that thing coming along. Persevere through difficulty. Guess what? This coming year is going to face some difficulty. I don't want to discourage you, but you're going to have difficult situations come your way. Maybe it's a health battle. Maybe it's a financial battle. Maybe it's a family issue that comes up. You're going to have to persevere through difficulty. Quitting is easy, isn't it? Difficulty comes, I'm done with church. I'm done with God. I'm done with my Bible. What a foolish decision to make in your life. Well, how foolish I'd be. Look what God did to me. No, God didn't do that to you. God allows trials into our lives, and we'll talk about some of that in a bit here, but quitting. Quitting is contagious, and quitting becomes a habit. You start quitting on God, quitting on your job, quitting on your family. You just keep quitting in your life. Let's take that word quit out of the dictionary. Sometimes, well, maybe not the dictionary, out of our vocabulary. How about that? All right? But let's not quit. Unless if God has told you to stop, just keep persevering and keep going for the Lord. Persevere through difficulty. Satan is going to bring difficulty your way this coming year. Satan's going to battle you. If you're trying to do something for God, Satan is going to battle you. He's going to battle your family, going to battle your ministries, your church. Satan is going to battle against you. He's seeking whom he may devour. The more you try to do for God, the more he's going to battle against you. Just keep persevering. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Persevere through difficulty from Satan. Persevere through the difficulty of sin. I hate to say it, but you and I are all going to fail and fall in sin in some ways this coming year. Not an excuse, but we're going to mess up at some point. You're gonna intend to do something for God or to never do something again and get things right with God, and you may fail in that area next year. Not an excuse, not trying to go back to it, but we're going to falter. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Again, don't quit. Don't just give in and say, you know what, this is my sin, this is my life, and I'm never going to get victory over it. Don't quit. Keep going. Maybe you're going to suffer through the difficulty, persevere through the difficulty of suffering, through trials. Maybe God's going to bring trials in your life this coming year. Not from Satan, not from sin, not from the flesh, but Satan, but God may allow a trial to come into your life. He may allow difficulty to come your way. The book of Job, in chapter 23, again, one of the greatest trials you'll ever see that Job goes through. And Job said this in chapter 23, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him." You ever been there before? On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. Look at that faith that he has in God. "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." He said, I go forward, I don't see him, I don't know where God is. But he said, but I'm not changing from the book. I'm not leaving God's word. I'm going to stay faithful to God no matter what comes my way. And he says, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Difficulty may come, it tests your faith, but it builds your faith. I know we don't love trials. I don't look for trials, but it builds your faith. It builds your trust in God, your obedience to God. Take some time as we finish this year and evaluate. God, how did this year go? You look back and you think, man, Lord, I could have been so much better. You know, you look back, God, I messed up in some. God, would you help me going forward? Let's finish strong. Maybe your Bible reading this year was not great. 10 days to the end of the year, finish strong. Maybe your prayer life wasn't great this past year. 10 days, finish strong. Maybe you've not been faithful to church as much as you should the next 10 days, not every day, but as the doors were open, finish strong. Finish strong so you can start strong. Finish strong so you can start strong. It's going to be established through prayer. It'll be established by as we prepare and then as we persevere. Heads bowed and eyes closed. God, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, we fail.